I am absolutely here, Bill. Just very, very briefly.
Thank you. I'm back better than ever, stronger, willing, able.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and talk with you all and your greater community. So this week in particular has been very much all about the coronavirus and how do we as a school system respond and what needs are we meeting at the most basic level and where do we go from here? But in terms of campaigning, that's a whole nother question because campaigning has radically changed this week. Well, so the first thing I've done is I am a big believer in social distancing, and I have shut down all in-person interactions completely. So I am not canvassing. I am not door knocking. I am not dropping literature at people's homes. If coronavirus can live on a piece of paper for 24 hours, I do not want that piece of paper coming from me or any of the people associated with my campaign. Instead, I've done a Zoom meet and greet. That was a brave new world with video. And it was a lot of fun learning what some of my constituents' concerns were and them in turn learning what I felt about these ideas. But in addition to that, I have been really active and engaged on social media. So yesterday during the governor's, Governor Hogan's press conference, basically I had it on a live stream as a quote unquote watch party, but then I actually typed up his remarks as notes as it went along. And I did that because a lot of our families don't want to have this constant bombardment of kind of frightening news in their homes as an audio. You don't want that constant stream of audio leading to exacerbating stress and anxiety, particularly for the youngest students and members of our community. So by me sitting there typing notes live and then condensing them and putting them up as a file later, people were actually able to read along, have the sound muted, but felt informed. I've also been tweeting as often as I possibly can about what is our school system doing? Where is food being offered? How often is it being offered? One of our families, when I posted up something about additional resources that parents might use if they're interested in homeschooling at this point, another family popped online and asked me, hey, I went up to Howard High School to pick up the grab and go and I couldn't figure out where to go. And so with this instant interaction, I was able to say, okay, it's at the outside door to Howard High School, or the outside door to the cafeteria. And so then people were able to figure out how to queue up. The other thing is I've had the benefit of being able to tweet some of those information items in Spanish. So I'm not just reaching out to people that I might door knock to, but anyone in our community who has the need and wants to get out there and really take advantage of this wonderful thing that we're being able to offer our students. And just so you know, like as of last Friday, it was only going to be lunch. And then yesterday we got it approved. So that now it's lunch, it's dinner, a snack, and breakfast for the next day. So basically what we were able to do in on the first day off is increase the level of services substantially, where a lot of us out here in the community can now take a deep breath and say, phew, okay, some of these basic needs are being met. And that was a really long answer.
No, this is Katya Fort Roden. I want to step in and say that I appreciate that very much. Being a home where I have a compromised immune system, I would be very worried if someone came canvassing to the door. And being somebody who's also very passionate about politics and leadership in the community, I also was looking for ways that people could stand out and show leadership. And when I saw your activity level online, has been a resource to me personally as a Howard County resident. And I just wanted to, you know, commend you on that. And as I said a couple of minutes ago offline when I introduced myself to you, you know, people campaign to talk about their leadership skills. But in a time like right now, your leadership skills are going to be campaigning for you. And about an hour ago, I actually had a whole bunch of boxes left over in the house. I had no social contact, but I went and dropped them off in a parking lot to help facilitate the food disposition. And I got feedback that all of the food locations were being heavily used. So again, thank you for behind the scenes on any effort and communications you've done on that. It looks like it is being utilized on the community level. And that would probably be my last outing for a very long time, but wanted to commend you on both of those points that you make and thank you from a citizen level.
Well, thank you, because it's really important to me that we stop the spread. I have the ability to stay home, so I should. Yeah. And I was really worried. So one of the things I do in my, I'll go with spare time, is I run a food program for food insecure youth in our schools. I do this with one of my closest friends, and we provide right now about 53 meals or weekend backpacks for students. And we do that every week during the school year. And I have a team of about 10 volunteers at least, many of whom are senior citizens. And we cannot anymore rely on that community. And so since I've had to shut that down for the immediate future, and maybe we'll be able to start back up when we see what happens, for me, it was a huge sigh of relief to know that the schools are able to step up and serve in that role that's normally community-based.
Jen, thank you. That's a very timely and obviously relevant response to sort of what's going on in the public health space in our community. Just stepping back for a second, though, and just thinking about the fact that perhaps not all of our listeners are as familiar with your record or your background as we are, I think it'd be great if you could just take a minute and talk about what led you into public service of this particular form, serving on the Board of Education. So if you can just tell us a little bit more about your background and some of the ways you're able to utilize your expertise in service of Howard County Schools.
Sure, thank you. So the first thing is I moved to Maryland to be a public servant. I moved here in college, so I've been here about 30 years. And yes, I just told you how old I was, if you're quick on your arithmetic. And I
23.
I worked for the federal government as an intelligence analyst. And then as my family grew, we made the conscious decision to have one working family because we wanted to be able to focus in on raising our children. And it was probably not even a year before I started to get involved at a community level. Mm-hmm. And so my background was, you know, my middle daughter needed special education services starting at about 18 months. So that was my first foray into the school system. Mm-hmm. So I've had a special education student, and then I ran a preschool over in the east side of Columbia, a cooperative preschool. So I had my hands in at the preschool level or the nursery school level, and knowing what kind of COMAR regulations exist for that. And then as my children entered schools, and my children have all graduated from Wildlake High School, they've gone to Harper's Choice Middle and Swansfield Elementary. So I'm right in the down the heart of West Columbia.
Is it me, Katya Fort Roden? Yes, me. Yes. So I went, I went to Harper's Choice when we first moved here from California. Went to Harper's Choice Middle and Wildlake Middle. And because I have dyslexia, I also was involved in the special education system as a child growing up in Howard County. And that's why my family moved here, was specifically for the schools. So yeah, I can, that's definitely hits home personally with me.
Yeah, gotta love our Wildcats. And then once my kids were in school, I started getting involved at the school level. And I have done, if you can name a volunteer position, I've probably done it, whether it be PTA president, science fair coordinator, large scale literacy programs. I've done grant writing, grant project managing. And as my children got older, I realized that I needed to be less in their space and more at the county space. So I first became the vice chair of the Community Advisory Council. And the Community Advisory Council, also known as the CAC, is the liaison between the Board of Ed and the community at large. And I served 2 years as vice chair and then a couple of terms as chair. And during that time, I spent multitudes of hours working on policies for the school system. So I sat on multiple policy review committees, and it really gave me this strong, nuanced view of how complex our school system really is and how much is going on. When you are serving 59,000 students and 8,000 plus employees, there isn't a one-size-fits-all solution to any problem. So it's important that when we look at the available candidates, we're really taking a look at who has the experience and the knowledge base and the institutional history to come in and do the job. This is not an entry-level position. And it really astonishes me when people think that it is. If you want to get involved in your schools and make it better, start in the classroom. Volunteer in your child's classroom or volunteer in another child's classroom. Read to children or ask the teachers what you can do to help them. That's where you really get a sense of what's going on in the heart of our schools, what problems are our teachers encountering. And so I already had that coming on to the board, and I had a sense of what the responsibilities of the job were. And so because of that, I think it makes me a much more effective board member to understand the complexities of the job. Oh, and just for a bonus measure, my undergraduate degree is in economics and East Asian studies, and my graduate degree is also in East Asian studies. So I've specialized in the political economy of China. Okay, so I'm going to break it down into a couple different points. The first is when we look at this is the first time we're doing school board by district, the average voter doesn't know that yet, and they are going to be surprised. And that's really hard. And that's something that I'm trying to overcome by just, you know, up till this week, till talking to voters and saying, you know, you've got a change coming. You're only going to get to choose one person. And then to emphasize why I believe I'm the right choice for District 4. And in particular, the fact that I do have this wealth of experience and this shared lived experience at a school, at schools that were deeply involved in the redistricting, and as you said, battles. So first of all, I will say the community, when they get the chance to ask me where I stood and why I made the choices I did, they are very welcoming because I think they understand that my values really are reflective of their own, that my values are pretty progressive. And they're really about serving all students. It's not about only serving students who can afford the representation or afford to have loud voices. Now, I will say that whether it's an insult or whether it's a badge of honor, I have been the candidate that is receiving the most ad hominem attacks. And I will take that as, you know, there's a reason for it because people believe that I have something to offer and that they have to find a way to try to attack me if their candidate isn't strong enough to stand on their own merits. But that being said, the online ad hominem attacks are pretty egregious and unwarranted and unmerited. So that has been different this time and surprising. When I ran 2 years ago in 2018, it was nothing like this. We were very supportive of each other as candidates. We were very collegial and we actually developed a lot of friendships. And there isn't a person out there that ran in 2018 that I can't say, that I can't sit down and have a nice conversation with. And I'm not sure that that's the case right now because of the treatment of some of the supporters that are out there right now.
Yeah, that's... No, you, Bill, you go ahead and first and I'll comment after you. Yeah, I was gonna take you back on that and say that, it's always troubling because at this position, you step out to try to help your community and to be attacked on this level and to have malicious things said about you. And I know me being very active and outspoken, I do my due diligence to always double and triple check before I pass anything on. And I've seen many of things being said, and I take, some things strike me differently from my position where I'm at as a woman. You know, Howard County has a bad history, the way that it treats women who are running for office. I entered into Howard County kind of politics and that type of thing as a supporter when my fellow Appleton alumni, Vanessa Atterbury, ran. And that same time period, Courtney was running. And the way women are attacked are much differently, is much differently from the way that other people are attacked. And, and when there's name calling or calling someone a bully or stuff like that, it's just, I think we need to, to acknowledge to ourselves that all things are not equal. When a woman speaks up, it tends to elicit the worst amongst too many. That's something that needs to continually be unpacked until that process is, not common or accepted. So I'll get off my soapbox on that, but it's unwarranted at some levels. You can attack, you can challenge somebody on their communication skills, their team skills. But anytime a woman pushes forward and is passionate about what they're doing, it gets ugly quickly, and that's very unfortunate. And I'm sorry, Jen, that you've had to experience that. And I appreciate that people like you have the time and the wherewithal to stand up and to go through this process.
Well, thank you for that, because I consider it kind of toughness. I was brought up to believe that I can withstand a lot, and steel is forged in fire. And when someone calls me a bully, I've actually gone to other people that I know to be nonpartisan, to be like third party observers. So I went up to some of the security personnel and I said, I hope what I said was okay. They're like, not only was what you said okay, it was completely necessary. They were telling me things that they were observing in the audience during redistricting, and they were struggling to manage the crowd, and it needed to be intervened from a leadership position. And I am an assertive woman. I am a strong woman, and I am criticized for that. And that's unfortunate. But I think the person who's really helped me keep going on this is one of my daughters said to me after she saw that I was being called a bully online, she's like, "Mom, they said the exact same things about Hillary Clinton. So put on your best pantsuit and get back out there."
Oh, thank you. I was wondering, and this may already be partially asked and answered based on the previous question, but I just want to see if there's any more ground to cover in this space. To a certain extent, perhaps a large extent, there's a little bit of an echo chamber going on in Howard County, particularly among those who are media and policy attentive. So we're hearing this a lot of conversation about from the activist community, all sides of the activist community, if you will, about who someone is and what they're all about, what their values are. Is there one, or perhaps 15? I don't know. But is there one thing you feel that voters in District 4 should understand about who you are and what it is you're working for?
Yes. Absolutely. So, when I look at being a parent and a volunteer over two decades, I watched the Howard County Board of Education repeatedly fail to rise to the challenges facing our community and make those tough political choices that would benefit all of our students. And I began my tenure on the BOE determined to change this, determined to fight for all children. And that means taking a hard look at disparate data and disparate inequities in our system. Mm-hmm. And that's really where my values lie. They lie in this, we need to provide equitable opportunities to education and equitable opportunities to succeed for all children. And it's not just special interests.
Mm-hmm.
And also in terms of values today, based on our culture nationally and locally, we see that a lot of times these values are directly attributed to political parties.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it's been asserted that I'm very partisan. And, you know, I'll take that criticism if it means that bipartisan, I really hold to my values of looking out for those that need our assistance the most. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that I am okay with being accused of being a shill for someone. Mm-hmm. And that is what happens. Rather than realizing that if an elected official is supporting my candidacy, it might be because I do a good job and I'm collaborative. Mm-hmm. And I'm educated and hardworking. So I think we need to take a step back and understand that these values and how we translate them as individuals, it may come down to it looks partisan, but I don't think anyone out there is going to say, yeah, I don't think we should look out for the least among us. Apparently you are. Okay, so one of the things, and it makes for a terrible podcast, but I really want to develop good policy. And by that, I was recently talking with Marcy Leonard, the current principal of Wildlake High School. And what she said to me was, bad policy hurts more students than bad people. And she looked to the example of the new dress code policy. She's like, it used to be that when students would come into school, I would say, take off your hat, take off down that hood, take out your earbuds, pull your pants up. Do you need a belt? All of those really negative things and not welcoming. You know, your skirt's too short. Go change that. How wide are your shoulder straps? Really negative things, where now we have this amazing new dress code policy that just says cover certain parts of your body with opaque material. And she's like, now these students walk in and I can say, nice to see you. Hey, are you having a good day? It's great that you're here. And so I take that example and I think about the whole 4 years of what we can do and how we can make great policy and academic strides for all of our children. That once we get under out from under the yoke of this crippling fund deficit in the health and dental fund, then we are going to be able to make these amazing investments in innovation that we haven't been able to make. And if there is one lesson that we have learned in the last 10 days, is that we have chronically underfunded investment in technology. We don't have the capability to offer our students online education yet. And that is specifically an outgrowth of decisions of past boards of education that have said paper and pencil were good enough for me, they're good enough for the future. And we know right now they're not. So I am really excited about moving forward, being innovative, and offering great education and great educational policy. The board really only has a very small number of areas that they can work in. They can work in policy. They can work in taking legislative stances, and they pass the budget. We can put our money where our mouth is on the budget. We can make great policy, and we have a new one coming online soon, and that's the equity policy that was required by the state. And I think people are really going to be happy about the direction it's going in. And then in terms, you know, so when we look at these big areas that we have, the other one is the bully pulpit. We need to lead from the dais or the bully pulpit and to say, these are the things that matter. These are our priorities. These students are our priorities. And how do we get rid of the achievement gap? And getting rid of the achievement gap doesn't mean pushing the top down. It means bringing the bottom up. And I am so looking forward to having this reflective time. Like, I'm going to take advantage of this reflective time where I'm at home. And really, what can I do to make our schools better when we are back in school? And when we look at where we stand today, it's really fluid. You know, if I had to make my projections, it may be significantly longer than 2 weeks. If I were a betting woman.
Yeah. And I'm hoping from my point of view on this existence that it is, because, you know, these are uncharted territories.
Amen. Did that answer your question, Bill?
I just had one very quick question. So just looking ahead again, we know there will be at least a couple of council districts where we're going to have some newcomers to the Howard County Board of Education. Given your experience as a member, what advice would you give to any new members of the Board of Education? What would be the one or two sentences you'd tell them to bear in mind as they assume their new role in our community?
So the first piece of advice I would give is make sure to listen. Listen to what our community is saying, to listen to what our administrators are saying, to listen to what our teachers are saying. And for the first couple of months, you don't need to say a lot. You don't need to come in with guns blazing and try to change everything. Because if you do, your ability to know what the unintended consequences of everything you change are pretty profound. Mm-hmm. So, I do believe that there are people who are running with the intent to walk back redistricting. So if they are elected, they will be installed on the board in early December of 2020. Mm-hmm. By that point, we will have students in their new schools for 4 months. Mm-hmm. It's not fair, equitable, or even feasible to say, okay, now we're going to walk it back. Mm-hmm. And to run and to make people think that just because they're upset, that you have the power to do that, it's a bit of a misnomer and it's very misleading. Mm-hmm. So I would hope that whomever is elected to the board to realize that there's a lot of learning to do. And even I have a ton of learning to do. And I came in with a multitude of experiences and a great deal of information and background and historical institutional knowledge. Mm-hmm. And for those that are coming in that don't have any of that, take some time to acquire it. Mm-hmm. Go back and watch old board meetings. Mm-hmm. Watch every board meeting between, if you are on the ballot in November, you need to be at every board meeting mm-hmm. that we have starting once we start having board meetings again. Mm-hmm. It's really critical. And it's not something you should just do from the seat of your home mm-hmm. because people need to be out there to see that you're engaged. Mm-hmm. And that is also how you get to meet administrators and teachers and have those interactions. And you're not just doing it for show. Mm-hmm. So I would also caution new members of the board to realize that they're not a one-man show. Mm-hmm. You are one of seven, and every vote takes four at a minimum, and sometimes five. Mm-hmm. So collaboration and cooperation and compromise mm-hmm. are all critical components to the job. And if you don't have those skills, you shouldn't be applying for the job.
Well, it seems like very responsible counsel to me. So excellent.
No, I appreciate it. You've covered many points. And I think that's my first time being able to actually speak to you. So it's been a pleasure.
Well, it has been a pleasure too for me. I actually think we may have met at an event last summer.
Oh, okay. I bite my tongue.
So it was an event.
Thinking about it.
It was an event at Centennial Park in, I believe, June of last summer.
Yes. Okay. My thank you. I'll run it off to like transplant head. It's been a crazy year. Transplant head. Yeah, Ellie, yeah, foggy memory. So it's a pleasure to speak to you again.
Absolutely. Okay, well, first of all, no events. No events.
Yeah, podcasts, live Facebook.
So virtual. I will be doing the Scott E. podcast very soon. We had originally scheduled it in person, and that will be moving to online. So there's that. So another thing that we're doing is there's a young man, like he has school age children, who's doing something called the Meriwether Post, a new online blog. And the Meriwether Post is hosting a weekly question of the week. And I suspect right now, since they're taking their questions from suggestions from community members, that we're pretty heavily focused on redistricting, at least for the first two. And I'm hoping we'll move on to other things because there's a lot more going on in our school system than just redistricting. And I will be doing Zoom meet and greets. And so if any of your listening audience would like to host a meet and greet, please just have them reach out to me at jenmallow4boe. That's J-E-N-M-A-L-L-O, the number 4boe at gmail.com. Or they can reach me via Messenger on Facebook. They can reach me via private message on Twitter. There's lots of ways to reach me, honestly. And I will probably also do some, I think we're going to convert a bunch of the forums into town hall style Zoom events. So let's keep your eyes and ears open. And if anyone would like a yard sign, someone I worked with more than 30 years ago, back when I worked for the federal government, has recently retired, and he goes out and deploys yard signs throughout the community. And we do it all with no contact so that we are not compromising anyone's immune system. And so reach out to me if you want a yard sign. And I encourage your members who do support me to make sure you get my name out far and wide, because it's really important this year, particularly if you embrace progressive values, that we put someone in the office that shares those progressive values rather than some of the more conservative values we see coming up from other candidates. No, they're not. So if someone has a particularly great location that is near traffic hubs, I fully encourage them. But mind you, I do not place my signs illegally. I do not put them in the area between the sidewalk and the road, those little grassy strips. I do not place them on school property. I do not place them so near to school property that it looks like it's on school property. So if you're asking, can you have one, or can you recommend someone else not in the district? Absolutely, they can have one, as long as it's not going to be illegally placed. Because if you can't follow the rules with your yard signs, then that really says something about you. I would be more than happy to. This was enjoyable. Thank you.
Jason Booms.
Katya Fort Rodin.